For Scotland, the heavy rain will continue to spread northwards through the morning, generally turning a little bit drier across Scotland for the afternoon, though, with some sunshine for the northeast. Maybe one or two showers, though, for northwestern and southern parts of Scotland, with highs of around 15. And as I said, it remains unsettled through the week, with further rain on the way for many. Neil, back to you.
All right, many thanks. Time now on BBC Radio 4 for our Book of the Week. Jennifer Saunders first started to make us laugh with her comedy partner Dawn French in the 1980s and has continued to do so ever since, most notably when she wrote and starred in the hit comedy series Absolutely Fabulous. But how did it all begin? Jennifer Saunders reads the first episode of her memoir, Bonkers, My Life in Laughs.
I am inside an egg. Everyone on my course at the Central School of Speech and Drama is inside an egg. These are eggs that we have made from newspaper and sellotape. All 16 of us are inside our own eggs on the floor of one of the studios. We are told to remain inside the egg until we feel ready to hatch. When we hatch, it will be into an unknown world, where we can be anything we like. We may have to learn new methods of communication. We may be frightened. We may be aggressive. We must take our time and do it as it comes naturally. The lights are dimmed. There is silence. Nobody wants to be the first one to come out of the egg. It's quite nice in the egg. Think I may have a sleep. I am trying to study for a B.Ed. In drama and English, and I think speech as well. We do have speech training, and we have to move around a room, breathing from our buttocks and rolling our voices along the floor and then saying, I-E-O, ma baby be baboo, in order to get some mouth movement and find our embouchure. Mine is still missing. So, I'm on a teacher training course. Yes, I'm surprised too. This has never been part of my plan, if indeed there ever has been a plan. That I am at college at all is something of a miracle. I left the Northwich Grammar School for Girls in Cheshire with three very average A-levels in geography, biology and English, with no idea of anything that I particularly wanted to do. The school's career officer, who was actually just the RE teacher earning a bit on the side, told me in no uncertain terms that I had chosen a strange mix of subjects and should immediately apply to become a dental nurse. I, however, thought I should apply to some universities. Both of my parents had been to university, and my older brother Tim, who was full of brains, was about to go to Cambridge to study engineering. Thankfully, this had taken the pressure off me a bit. My two younger brothers, Peter and Simon, were still at school. I went to quite a few interviews at various universities. Leicester, Nottingham, Coventry. But wasn't accepted at any of them. Reluctance to open my mouth when talking, or even talk at all, could have been a contributing factor.
Why do you want to do combined studies here in Nottingham?
Because... Damn, I should have prepared this. Because I like them.
What makes you particularly suited to archaeology and anthropology?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I just like the sound of it and imagine digging about in ancient tombs wearing khaki. And they knew it too. For them it must have been like interviewing a bowl of porridge. The thing that Central had to recommend it over and above all the others was that it was in London and I wanted to go to London. Much to my surprise and my mother's joy, I was accepted in the autumn of 1977. Back in the egg. Nothing much is happening. I am not aware of any hatchings. I can hear some whisperings and some chick noises, but no ripping paper. Dawn French is in one of the eggs. Dawn French, later to be off the television, and my comedy partner. Now, much has been made, mainly by me, I suspect, of the fact that when Dawn and I first met at college, we hated each other on sight. Well, this isn't true. We were indifferent. She had come with a purpose, which was to learn to be a teacher. She actually wanted to teach. I had arrived not really realising that it was a teaching course at all. A few terms in, when they sent us all into schools, I was genuinely shocked. In my second year, I moved to a flat closer to college. There were six of us living in it, and Dawn was one of them. Dawn and I would walk to college together most days. I can't remember what we talked about, but I remember enjoying it more and more. We laughed a lot. It's the best feeling when you find someone who isn't just a good audience, but who can actually add to the funny and keep it going. If you're doing an impersonation of someone or telling a story, there are people who will interrupt and stop your momentum, and there are people who can make comments and observations that keep the plates spinning. And we became great plate spinners. I had never really considered myself funny before. Was I the class clown? No. One of my school reports when I was seven refers to my unusually developed sense of humour, but this surprises me. I feel I was largely mute. I had changed schools a lot, by virtue of the fact that my father was in the RAF. In my first 13 years of life, we moved seven times. My first 6 years were spent abroad, in Nicosia in Cyprus, and then in Ankara in Turkey. I remember the smell of pine trees and the heat, but very little else except what I know from photographs. On returning from abroad, we had a series of postings, Cologne, Camberley, and when I was 13, we finally settled in Cheshire, where my father got a job working for Hawker Siddeley selling aircraft. By this point, I had attended seven different schools, two of them twice. Changing schools that often had pushed me the other way from being the class clown. It had made me a great blender inner, which is strange because the default setting in my family was laughter. That was where we all instinctively headed to. Being in on a joke was absolutely the best place to be. My father, Tom Saunders, was brilliantly deadpan and easily amused. There was a golden rule, decreed by my father, you can be serious, but you must never, ever take yourself seriously. Most things could be tolerated except pomposity. He and my mother Jane always made each other laugh, and they shared an adventurous spirit. When they first started courting, so the story goes, my father flew his plane upside down under telegraph wires to impress her. At the time, he was posted in Jordan teaching pilots how to fly. On one of his trips home on leave, they got engaged. I think my love of physical comedy must have been inherited from my father. During his early days in the RAF, he had done an act in the British Council Review, The Man Who Can't Put Up His Deck Chair. I wish I'd seen it. So, in Dawn, who is a truly great physical comedian, I had found someone to play with, someone who was in on the joke. For me, comedy is about being allowed to be a child, to make things up and be silly, to play pretend and not be embarrassed in front of the person that you're playing pretend with. Our first act was called The Menopause Sisters. Actually, to call it an act is probably going a bit far. It was me and Dawn and an old guitar. The Menopause Sisters then became the Menopazzi Sisters, who were an old Italian circus act. The sofas in the flat would be pushed back against the wall, and whoever was there would be our audience, not always by request. They would have to sit through, me and Dawn in black leotards and red swimming hats, miming a series of circus tricks, like walking on big balls or simply doing forward rolls followed by endless bowing. We would then exit into the hall, applauding ourselves while the audience pushed the sofas back and continued to watch television. We laughed and laughed. We didn't drink much in those days. Wine was disgusting and gin expensive, so our thrills came from messing about. We were short on money, but long on free time, and whiled away many hours just being childish. Activities included dressing up as punks and seeing if we could scare people on the tube. Hiding in the laundry basket and popping out to try and frighten our flatmates. Hilarious. Making severed heads out of cabbages and banging them on our friends' windows. I'm back in the egg. I can hear some hatching. Paper is being ripped and I can hear the noises made by people taking it seriously. I think I'll stay put for a bit and let them get it out of their system. This whole thing was an exercise that we might be expected to take into schools and use in a lesson. Really? Well, no, I suppose those who actually wanted to be teachers might, but I couldn't imagine it at all. At the end of term, every year at Central, there was an actors' cabaret, where actors and actresses would show off their special skills, like singing and poncing about. Dawn didn't like most of the actors because they really didn't want to be seen mixing with the teachers. We were considered slightly beneath them, well, a long way beneath them. So she decided, out of sheer bloody-mindedness, that we should perform at the cabaret. The Menopatsy sisters had their first gig. By now, we had embellished the leotards by sewing nipple tassels onto the back as if we were wearing them back to front, and had put white makeup all over our faces. The actors' cabaret was invaded by student teachers on our course who came to watch us. After a couple of guitar strummers and singers and poetry readers, we were on. And I have to say, I think we stormed it. We got our first real audience laughs, and that's the greatest feeling. Once you know you can get a laugh, it's absolutely addictive. When the next cabaret came along, we'd worked up an act. A reprise of the Menopatsies, obviously, followed by two American characters we wrote a sketch for. Double Stormer! So there we were, at the end of the third year, poised for a comedy future. But it didn't happen immediately. We had never actually considered taking it further. Dawn went off to become a teacher, while I moved into a house in Chelsea. Dawn and I kept in touch, but we believed that that part of our lives was over. And it was for a while. I have hatched, and I've deserted my eggshell, and I'm watching from the sides. There are the grunters, and the softly weepingers, and the completely no imagination at all is just sitting still. It's silly, but not funny at all. Eventually it winds down. No one is quite sure where we're supposed to go with this. We look around. The teacher who set the whole experiment up has gone to the pub. I'm sitting on the steps outside the house in Chelsea. My friend Jobo has bought a paper so we can do the crossword. There's an ad in the job section wanting comedy acts for a new club. Specifically, they want female comedy acts. I think there's a possibility that Dawn and I could be a comedy act. She is doing her probationary year teaching, but if we took the job in the club, they would only want us in the evening, so there shouldn't be a problem. I call her that night. Please remember, young people, these are the days before mobile telephones, when you had to wait till the person was home in order to get hold of them. Or you had to use pigeon posts. I call her. Dawn? Yes? It's Jennifer. Do you, like, remember me from college? Yes. Well, the thing is... Oh, do get on. I've got books to mark. Well, the thing is... And lesson plans to do. Well, the thing is... Will you stop saying the thing is and just get to the point? The thing is... Could we be, do you think... A comedy act. But I've got books to mark. Could we, though, do you think? But I've got lesson plans. I'm a teacher, Jen. Just the odd evening. I mean, shall we audition?
What, now?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Send me something by pigeon and I'll think about it.
So I did.
Jennifer Saunders continues reading from her memoir, Bonkers, My Life in Laughs, at the same time tomorrow. The abridger was Richard Hamilton, and the producer was Elizabeth Allard. And for more on one of Britain's favourite comedians, you can go to the Book of the Week pages on the Radio 4 website, where you can find some snaps from Jennifer Saunders' photo album. The shipping forecast is coming up shortly. Until then, here's Sailing By. Now on BBC Radio 4, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Tuesday, the 22nd of October. There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Sarah, South Sarah, Forties, Fisher, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Trafalgar, Fitzroy, Seoul and Lundy. The general synopsis at 1800. New lows expected Shannon, 980, expected just north of Fair Isle, 978, and southeast Iceland, 981, by 1800 Tuesday. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, North Sarah, South Sarah, northeast 40s. Southeasterly, 6 to gale 8, veering southerly 5 to 7. Rain, moderate or poor. Southwest 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, darker. Mainly southerly, 5 to 7. Rain, moderate or poor.